Te na koto, te whanau, o Auckland Unitarians. Te na koto, nā manuhiri. Nō mai, haere mai, ki tēne whare karakia o te atua. Ko jandaleo toko inua. Nō reira, te na koto, te na tātou katoa. Welcome all, church family and visitors, to this place of worship and fellowship made sacred by Auckland Unitarians for 120 years. Welcome also to those joining us remotely or watching the recording at a later time. My name's John DeLeo, and I'll be leading our service today. The words of welcome I've chosen for this morning are by Dan Lambert. You are welcome here no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background. You are welcome here to join us as we proclaim worth in our spiritual journeys. You are welcome to join us as we sing songs that uplift our very beings. You are welcome to join us in community as we learn, live, and love together. All are welcome as we worship that which gives us each meaning and value. No matter what you call this building, this hour, or this gathering of people, we worship as one body, illuminated by the light of the chalice. A brief quote adapted from T.S. Eliot. What life have we if we have not life together? There is no life not lived in community, and no community not lived in celebration and praise. We light this chalice to find inner peace, love for each other, and faith in ourselves. Also, to be welcoming to whomever we meet and kind to all living creatures. So gather around this light of hope as we share this time together. If you wish, you're welcome to recite with me the covenant of our congregation. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is the sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with each other and with our God. This morning, I'm going to read three short pieces, followed by some brief and fairly random musings. The first piece is a column by Angela Zhao that appeared in the Stanford Daily in January of 2019. Birthdays, cake, pizza, ice cream, glitter, balloons. Just the very word birthday conjures up images of hyper sugar-drunk children, exhausted parents, and the ever-present enduring idea of hired Disney princesses. Yes, we did that. Who may or may not stage potentially traumatic crises in the middle of a darling child's beautiful, optimistically perfect day. But acquisitions and dodgy music videos aside, the term birthday is associated with positivity, effervescent joy, and, of course, the oodles and oodles of bright wrapping paper and thin strips of plastic ribbon. It's a day meant to celebrate the birth of the person, most commonly referred to as the birthday boy or birthday girl. Their parents are presumably happy that they are alive and kicking, enough to throw a party and invite the darling's friends, and the friends in question are happy to come and celebrate the same cause. From an American perspective, birthdays are one of the greatest moments in a child's life. Other than the presents, specifically and carefully chosen for the pleasure of the birthday person, it's also a chance to throw a party. And who doesn't love a party? Not only are friends invited, family, friends, siblings, and relatives all gather together in a fun-filled day, all meant to celebrate the moment this person entered into this world. While this cultural tradition is popular in the U.S., I think it warrants importance to take a step back and see what we are really celebrating. Ostensibly, we're celebrating the fact that a person was born. But people are born every day. And we certainly don't celebrate strangers' birthdays. We celebrate the birthdays of people important to us because of the joy they bring to our lives. All right, you might say, there's your answer. We celebrate birthdays because we love and care about the birthday person. But why the birthday? Why choose to celebrate the day that you were born? Of course, it may be accompanied by oodles of joy from the people who anticipated your arrival and the people who simply love seeing new life passing from the womb into the world. But what about the other complications involved in the birth? What about the pain mothers go through? The family stress about whether or not the child and mother will make it? The unforeseen consequences of undetected mutations? I once had a friend tell me that when her family celebrated birthdays, it wasn't so much as a celebration of the child's birth as it was a celebration of the sacrifices the parents had to work through, up to and including the immense loss of time, energy, and perhaps a career's forward trajectory. Is that what we should be celebrating? The contributions and sacrifices of our parents that often go unacknowledged, or at the very least, less acknowledged than the happy child sitting at the center of the table? Is the world truly a better place because you are here? Do you truly make enough of a difference in this world because of your presence and your birth from pain and sacrifice? Or is it just another reflection of the self-aggrandizing culture and time we live in? Perhaps what matters is not whether or not you make a great difference, but that you have made enough of a positive impact to the lives of the people surrounding you that they want to come and celebrate the fact that you've been on the earth for another year, which is a truly lovely idea. The second item is a short blog post by Padaste, 5 Reasons Why We Celebrate Birthdays. I bet you have celebrated several birthdays in your lifetime. Whether it's your 16th or the 80th, you should celebrate it to the max. Things change as time changes, and hence there are several reasons why you should celebrate your birthday. First, birthdays are social. This is the perfect time to get all your friends and family in the same place. On the occasion of birthdays, our kith and kin have a chance to meet and interact. It's no secret that people are very busy nowadays. This is a perfect time to organize something that will get all your friends in the same place. Why not make it happen? Second, people have to celebrate you. You are here, and I think people, especially your parents, have to celebrate you. This is a day to bring them together and make all your family and friends celebrate you. It is important for all of their attention to be focused on you. Let your loved ones show you with compliments and gifts how much you matter to their lives. Third, you have a perfect chance to reflect on your life. Life is changing, and so are you. Celebrating your birthday gives you an ideal opportunity to reflect on those things that need a change too. If it's your 18th, 35th, or 70th birthday, you can have some time to reflect on what you have achieved so far or what you need to accomplish in the next year. Take this time to evaluate your life and make changes where needs arise. Reflect on the past and smile if some good things have happened, and make up your mind to achieve the best and to keep only the right people in your life in the next few years. Fourth, it's an essential phase in your life. Once your 18th or 40th birthday passes, you will never have a chance to celebrate that milestone again. Why don't you do it to the max today? You deserve the day, and also people need an opportunity to tell you to. Take that advice from friends and family seriously. Take the chance and celebrate like there is no tomorrow. Invite friends, cut the cake, eat it, and share some with friends and family. I bet this is what every person is looking for, and that's why they are in the occasion to celebrate together with you. And fifth, it's an expression of thanks. This is a day to celebrate birth itself. This is the time that you will reflect on your childhood and share some of the funniest moments with your parents. It is also one of the best days to be thankful to your parents for raising you up and taking care of you. It is also a chance to thank God for all the attention, mercy, and guidance. It is the only time when your past will intersect with your future. Celebrate your birthday and share birthday wishes like there will be no other chance to do so. Why don't you call all the impactful people in your life and celebrate with them? So if there is anybody out there celebrating their birthday today, happy birthday from me. The final piece is another short blog post, this one by Celine Chinoy on the Project Happiness website, and it expands the conversation to special occasions in general. Twinkle lights are the perfect metaphor for joy. Joy is not a constant. It comes to us in moments, often ordinary moments. I believe a joyful life is made up of joyful moments, gracefully strung together by trust, gratitude, inspiration, and faith. Breen Brown. Since the dawn of civilization, man has given high priority towards the commemoration of special occasions. We can see this in the pagan rituals conducted by our tribal ancestors during initiations, the ancient Egyptians' celebrations during the annual harvests, the elaborate coronation ceremonies during the Middle Ages, and the gruesome acts of human sacrificial offerings that were made by the Mayans. The list of the number of rites, rituals, and celebrations that the people on our planet partake in is almost endless and incredibly diverse. Commemoration rituals can be as simple as treating ourselves to a spa day after accomplishing something challenging at work, to a full-blown 3-day wedding extravaganza to share the happiness of our blessed union with our loved ones. All around the world, special events and celebrations like weddings are even led up to with great gusto. The market for invitations, save the dates, and other types of celebration reminders are prolific and extremely popular. In fact, there is a ubiquitous industry for the celebration of practically all mainstream holidays, such as Christmas, Valentine's Day, and New Year's Eve. Every culture, nation, and tradition has developed its own unique ways of honoring special occasions. Their customs and traditions are a direct product of their cultural background, history, religious beliefs, and even the geography of the region they live in. We see this in religious and cultural festivals around the world, like Carnival in Brazil, Chinese New Year, Oktoberfest in Germany, and Diwali in India. As eclectic as these practices are, if we take a closer look, we'll see that there is a common thread of themes that connect each and every one of them. We see that all of these occasions center on universal human experiences, such as love, sadness, joy, reverence, success, and sacrifice. No matter which country you visit, you will notice that we all rejoice in the same things, such as happy relationships, the birth of a child, professional or personal victories, and other milestones. Similarly, we all mourn the same things, such as losing a loved one or facing a major setback or disaster. It seems that, as a species, we are instinctively driven to honor the significant moments in our lives. There are deep underlying needs that drive us to engage in celebrations. As a result, we have found so many wonderful ways to meet these needs and create more meaning in our lives. There are, however, skeptics out there who perceive these celebrations as being fluffy, ostentatious, and prodigal. These practical traditionalists view these occasions with an eye of cynicism, preferring to maintain a stance of reticence and living their life in a moderate and simplistic manner. Somebody had a thesaurus out. Of course, everyone is free to live their life in a manner of their own choosing, but they would be missing out on a lot of life's goodies by excluding themselves from participating in gatherings that pay homage to the important milestones in life. Here are some significant benefits they would miss out on. First, cultivating a sense of community. One of the most opportune times to bond with our families and friends is during special occasions. Whether we come together to celebrate happy occasions such as a bridal shower or more somber occasions such as a funeral, we get a chance to connect with those we love and care about on a deeper and more profound level. Second, instilling a sense of meaning and significance in our lives. The unique rituals and practices that highlight important milestones, such as weddings, graduations, or birthdays, all serve an important purpose. Participating in the customary rites, cutting cakes and drinking champagne, connects us to the significance of the role that an occasion plays within the grand scheme of our lives. It instills a sense of reverence and appreciation for the gift of life and connects us to a more omnipotent force. Third, we will create lasting, fond memories. The human mind tends to recall memories that carry a high emotional charge to them. When we commemorate a special occasion, we are essentially placing a mental bookmark on an experience, thereby making it easier to remember in the future. The photos, videos, and other forms of memorabilia from those occasions serve as triggers that we can use to relive those pleasant experiences in the future. Fourth, it adds fun and excitement to our lives. Celebrations can be incredibly fun and provide us with the perfect opportunity to engage in the joys of life, such as dance, song, food, play, and laughter. Who doesn't look forward to the fun-filled occasions where we can let our hair down and take a break from our mundane existence? The little kid within us still relishes in the excitement of an upcoming celebration, and this is an emotion that we deserve to indulge in as adults as well. Finally, we take our place in the circle of life. When we commemorate special occasions, we are essentially connecting with our humanity and the commonality that we share with all those who have gone before us. We tap into the timelessness of the human spirit when we take the time to pay respect to the important rites of passage that were celebrated by our ancestors in yesteryears. So on to my musings. As I've mentioned a few times in the past, the themes and musings present in the services I lead tend to reflect things that are on my mind at the moment. In this case, it happens to be birthdays. Mine is on Tuesday. It also happens to be one of those milestone birthdays. I'll be turning 55. I think that means I can get an AARP card in the U.S. Ooh. We also just finished the multiple events that make up our children's celebrations, as both of their birthdays are in September. We've established a tradition within our family. On each birthday, we have a family dinner, which the birthday person gets to choose, along with whatever cake they want and presents from the family. This year's dinners were ham and mashed potatoes with blueberry cheesecake on Larry's birthday, and dinner at Archie's with chocolate peanut butter pie on Allie's. Personally, I'm looking forward to Korean barbecue on Tuesday. The kids then get to have separate celebrations with their friends. This year, there was an arcade trip for Allie and an afternoon at the climbing gym for Larry. Now, amidst our family's month of celebrations, we also saw commemorations of two very somber occasions. This was the 21st anniversary of the September 11th attacks in the United States. And the commemoration was highlighted by a remembrance ceremony held at the National September 11th Memorial Plaza in New York City. And part of that annual tradition is there at Ground Zero. The entire list of the people killed in the attacks is read in a very slow and reverent fashion. So it's actually a fairly lengthy ceremony, and it's been repeated now 21 times. Then we also, Queen Elizabeth II passed on September 8th, which triggered an elaborate sequence of ceremonies and rituals around the royal succession, as well as a series of commemorations and memorials around the world, including the memorial service in Wellington and the accompanying national public holiday just this past Monday. All of this got me thinking, why exactly do we put so much importance on marking occasions? Throughout history and around the world, people have created special days marking seasonal changes and annual remembrances of significant events, both victories and tragedies. They've grown to be steeped in tradition and ceremony, and are sorely missed if they don't take place as they're supposed to. Witness the scramble this year in Auckland to mark Anzac Day without being able to have the traditional dawn gathering at the museum. To be clear, I'm not complaining about any of these things or suggesting that any of it stop. I just found myself wondering, why? Why are they so important? This morning's third reading summed up pretty well what I found in everything I read on the subject. They build a sense of community. They instill a sense of meaning and significance in our lives and society, and the society in which we live. They create lasting memories that serve as touch points we can look back on. And they help us connect with the broader human community through shared observance. On reflection, I can see that in my own life. My close ancestors did not fight and die in any of the 20th century's big wars. My grandfather was exempted from service in World War I because he was already over 30, and he was the sole provider for his wife and several children. Conversely, my father was 16 when World War II ended, so he was never old enough to serve, though some of his older brothers, whom I never met, did. My older brother did enlist during Vietnam, but he ended up receiving a medical discharge before he ever left the country. But still, I marched with my Boy Scout troop in the Memorial Day and Veterans Day parades every year. I remember bits and pieces of those events even now, 40 years later. I felt that sense of community and shared experience as residents of a small Connecticut town gathered to commemorate those wounded and killed while serving their country on foreign shores. Even though I had no direct connection to those being commemorated, I still felt the bond we all shared in marking the occasion. So in the end, I got what I think is a pretty good answer, and I realized I kind of knew it all along. Now we'll proceed to close. Please join with me as we say the words for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. The closing words I've selected are by Eileen B. Karpeles. As we part now from one another, let these be our thoughts. If that which is most holy lies within the human person, and if the greatest power in the world shines flickering and uncertain from each individual heart, then it is easy to see the value of human associations dedicated to nurturing that light. The couple, the family, the community. For the power of good in any one of us must at times waver. But when a group together is dedicated to nurturing the power of good, it is rare for the light to grow dim in all individuals at the same moment. So we borrow courage and wisdom from one another to warm us and keep us until we are together again. Now we're going to spend a bit of time in breakout rooms. We'll divide the online participants into groups, and the in-person participants will form, looks like, at least two groups here. After you've had some time to discuss things, we'll close the breakout rooms and hold the Zoom meeting open for a bit so everyone can chat. And here are a couple of questions to get the discussion started. What are some of the most important occasions you commemorate in your life or within your family? What are important occasions in our life as a congregation? How might we make the commemoration of those occasions more impactful? Mark, set, go.